Good afternoon. It's Friday, the 2nd of February 2018, just after 1 o'clock. Welcome to UK Column News. I'm your host, Mike Robinson. And I'm delighted to say I'm being joined today by Vanessa Bealey from 21st Century Wire. Welcome to the programme, Vanessa.
Thanks, Mike. Good to be on.
Vanessa, we're going to be talking the latest White Helmets documentary, Last Men in Aleppo. Quite a number of people, most people are extremely appreciative of the work that you do, but there are some people that say, well, you know, this is all happening in Syria. What has it got to do with a British audience? But I think one of the things we're going to show today is how much of this is being driven by the British government, and this should be of interest to a British audience.
Yeah, I mean, I think where it should be of interest to the British audience is the sheer volume of taxpayer funds that have been poured into this organization, not only directly through British government funding, through the Conflict Stability and Security Fund that we've talked about, through a number of other initiatives to support the so-called Syrian opposition in what is effectively a failed war effort in Syria. But also regarding in contrast to the austerity measures in the UK, for example, being imposed by the British government, the cutbacks on the indigenous UK fire brigade and rescue services, while the White Helmets is not only being multi-million pound funded, but also promoted by a publicity machine that is not a cheap enterprise.
Indeed, that is absolutely true. Now, you have published this article on 21st Century Wire a few days ago, Last Men in Aleppo, Al-Qaeda presented as White Helmets for the annual terrorist Oscar nomination. Now, this is part one of two articles, I believe, and you're working on the second one at the moment. But just briefly, what are the points you're making here?
Yeah, I mean, the second one is definitely a work in progress. We're going to sort of delve into my research on the program today. But Last Men in Aleppo, I mean, basically when I was last in East Aleppo in January 2018, so only a couple of weeks ago, I visited the Al-Ansari Center, which is the White Helmet center that features largely in the Last Men in Aleppo film. Now, what I discovered at that point, of course, which is, you know, correlates with what I've discovered in every other district of East Aleppo where the White Helmets were operating, is that this particular center was embedded right next door to Nusra Front, which is Al-Qaeda in Syria, Abu Amara Brigade, which is the protection operation for Nusra Front. So actually even more brutal than Nusra Front itself. And then next to the various media centres that can't operate without Nusra Front green lighting their operations in East Aleppo. And then even we saw remnants of ISIS flags, graffiti on the wall, the Free Syrian Police, which of course was exposed by the BBC Panorama programme, which, you know, did not touch on the correlation between Free Syrian Police and the White Helmets when discussing the financing of terrorism by the UK Foreign Office. So already this film should be heavily questioned and viewed with a very critical eye based on the fact that it is effectively whitewashing the White Helmet's affiliation to Al-Qaeda again.
Well, look, let's just have a quick look at a scene from the film. The full film, I believe, is over 2.5 hours, about 2.5 hours long. But this particular scene from the film really grabbed me because these guys are supposedly working their way through buildings and picking up human remains on the way. And they're throwing human remains out of a window to be caught underneath. And then they're discussing the human remains amongst a group of them, not really clear what these remains are. This is... I don't really know how to sort of put into words what this is, but it's I'm not clear what the point they're trying to tell here or what the story they're trying to tell here is.
I have no idea. And actually, the point I made, when this film was screened very recently at Davos, I was told by the Sputnik correspondent that groups of school children between ages 12 to 14 were being basically coerced into coming to the film and watching and sitting through this macabre display of behavior. Now, what is also extraordinary is, yet again, as we see in many of these marketing features and documentaries, reports, there is no context, Mike. So we actually have no idea who dismembered this corpse, who separated this limb from the human being that was effectively under terrorist occupation in East Aleppo. But we are led to presume that, of course, it's the Syrian government and its allies that have contributed to this decomposed limb that has just been flung down from one of the floors of the building that had previously been destroyed. So this is not during a current attack. This is a previously destroyed building that they're combing ostensibly for body parts. But I mean, I haven't actually had the chance to ask people within the Red Cross or, you know, within other urban search and rescue organizations whether this is standard procedure. And I really, really, really suspect that it isn't. Because, and the very fact that this has been filmed without any explanation, without any context, is to me, it's just the most bizarre, not even bizarre, it's grotesque exploitation of human suffering.
Yes, okay, so let's briefly have a look at who's promoting this. Of course, we find the BBC. Now, it's no longer available on BBC iPlayer, but certainly has been promoted by the BBC, but others as well.
Yeah, I mean, what we've seen and what I'm working through now is exactly who and what is behind this marketing project for the White Helmet. We know that basically it was created by the UK Foreign Office as a primary shareholder in this organization. It was created by an ex-military British private security expert based in Dubai, James Lemessurier, who's been given an OBE for his services, of course. Of course, it's received funding from the majority of the 74 member states who are waging a hybrid war against the sovereign nation of Syria. But even more sinister is when we start to sort of examine who defends and protects this organization unconditionally. And I would say that the primary protectors of this organization are, as you've rightly pointed out, the BBC. We then have The Guardian, who has flagrantly and shamelessly lobbied and advocated for this organization without deviation from the script. And then, of course, we have Channel 4, who again have basically showcased this organization. They've taken narratives from this organization embedded in East Aleppo with Nusra Front without any questions, without any investigation, without any authentication of the stories. And various articles that I've written have shown those White Helmet produced narratives to be fraudulent and actually really a cover up for their own crimes against Syrian people in East Aleppo. We can also add CNN, Huffington Post, and a number of other sort of affiliated smaller, let's say, media operations into the mix. And I think what really needs to be highlighted is how all of these media outlets and organizations, all of their associated government officials, such as, for example, Andrew Mitchell, the former Secretary of State, who was responsible for the UK's Department of International Development, the number of associated NGOs and charities, how they all basically, as I said, without deviation, hesitation or question, cling to the White Helmet marketing script.
Right. Well, look, sorry, Vanessa, let me just interrupt there, because I just want to briefly show an excerpt from Going Underground on RT, just that sort of highlights this very well, and we can discuss this when we come back.
And all these years, and all these millions, hundreds of millions of pounds worth of British money. Where did it all go?
The British taxpayers' money has been absolutely vital in keeping alive and sustaining one of the world's other worst humanitarian crises. Millions of people who have been absolutely dependent. After all, Britain has provided more support for the refugee camps around Syria, in Jordan particularly, Lebanon, Iraq and Turkey. Britain has provided more support than the whole of the rest of the European Union added together.
That may be the case,
spending
but
British
why
money is
better
absolutely
to,
vital
better to be
on
preventative.
Humanitarian grounds.
Okay, but better to be preventative. I mean, we have a report here, we have a leaked memo of the Conflict Stability Security Fund, talking about 200 million going to all manner of different activities, which don't seem anything to do with trying to create peace. They seem to be supporting Islamists in Syria.
Well, I think that
will they be returning home to do harm here in Britain?
That is a highly, highly doubtful statistic. Britain has been working.
I have the leaked memo here. Britain. 18 million in peace, but 32 million being given to moderate armed groups, 54 million to the White Helmets, which has now been linked to ISIS, Daesh, and Al Qaeda linked groups.
The White Helmets very nearly won a Nobel Peace Prize.
And
the White House.
Did Henry Kissinger.
I know the Russians think that the White Helmets are an Islamist front, but actually the clear evidence that we had in Britain was that the White Helmets were incredibly brave men and women in Syria going to the rescue of people under attack from Russian and regime bombs.
I think
what you're saying about the White Helmets is extremely contentious, and I'm satisfied from the work that Joe Cox and I and others have done on the all-party Friends of Syria group that the work of the White Helmets was enormously valuable in humanitarian terms.
So he's doubtful about the figures, but if there's any doubt about it, don't worry, we'll roll out the name of Joe Cox in order to take the heat off.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, you know, if we go back to the White Helmet PR agency, in fact, if we just go back, the PR agency is Syria Campaign that was seed funded by Ayman Asfari. Ayman Asfari is under investigation by the Serious Fraud Squad in the UK. He's sanctioned in Italy for insider trading. He's provided financial support for Theresa May's government. He is a Syrian oil magnate with political ambitions inside Syria, so hardly impartial. But if we take a look at the script, and if we look at where the script emanates from, it emanates from the Syria Campaign that I've just described. It emanates from James Le Mesurier, the British ex-military trainer of the White Helmets and creator of the White Helmets. And it emanates from the number of organizations that support the White Helmets. And that script is adhered to religiously by all of these organizations that are defending the White Helmets. They will never deviate from this. We watched I was listening to another interview this morning with Martin Quinn of the Tipperary Peace Prize, where basically Audrey Carville of RTE is actually doing a very good job of challenging the narrative and coming off the script. But what we hear is Martin Quinn consistently returning to script. I mean, he simply will not allow himself, regardless of how irrefutable the evidence against the White Helmets is, to be distracted from the script. And so this is a very important point to make. I think the more that people start to identify the scripted responses, it's then easy to cross-link them to almost every single article or interview or interaction with the White Helmets.
Okay, well, look, we're going to start looking at some of the organizations that have helped to create not just this documentary, but others on the White Helmets as well, including the Netflix one. But we're going to start off with an organization that was originally called BritDoc. It's now called Doc Society. Mm. Now, in a few minutes, we're going to try to show the linkages between all these organizations in a graphical form to help people get to the bottom of this. But just before what is Doc Society and what are they doing?
Well, I mean, basically, and this is all taken from their website, Doc Society is a nonprofit. It was founded in 2005, and it was committed or is committed to enabling the dispersion of great documentary films and connecting them to audiences globally. As I say, this is taken from their website.
So that's their words.
Yeah. Yes. So basically what they claim to do, their mission statement is that they bring people together to unleash the transformational power of documentary film. So they stand, and again, this is from their website, "We stand in solidarity with filmmakers and work to unite them with new friends and allies, building new models globally. And we aim to innovate, share, and innovate again." So this is basically a network. It's a hub for the incubation of documentaries. We've also sort of been told, or it's been subliminally impressed upon our subconscious, I think, that documentaries may be replacing corporate media in presenting the facts on particular world stage narratives. What is slightly disturbing about that is that these documentaries, when we actually look at them, are taking their same funding and financing from exactly the same investment pools that the media has taken it from for decades now. So it's difficult to see how this so-called transference from information from the media to the documentary circles is going to be any more accurate than it is already, in, or not accurate in the corporate media circles.
Okay, and another name which plays on this is Good Pitch.
Yeah, well, basically, just very quickly to give you an idea, Doc Society, five strategic areas are helping good films to be great, engaging new partners, building new audiences, doing and measuring, sharing our learning. So that's again taken from their website. Then let's look at how they achieve these objectives through and by the following elements of the Doc Society apparatus. You've mentioned Good Pitch, and they say that that is where the world's best social change filmmakers meet new allies and partners. Then again, they talk about the featuring of documentary experts, the granting of huge amounts of money, actually, through their various foundations. Then we have the free classroom resources for teachers. So they're ensuring basically that the next generation is brainwashed with their information. They celebrate the documentaries making the greatest social impact. So we bring in, again, this transformational change aspect of this organization. And again, they have a number of field guides, which are comprehensive guides for using film for social change. So, hello, you know, we're bringing in social change, transformation, global awareness, et cetera.
Good Pitch and BritDoc, what is it called again right now?
Doc Society.
they have a sort of side project called the Threshold Foundation.
Yeah, well, I think what's important, just to quickly explain before we get on to Threshold, is that through Doc Society, both White Helmet Films, so the Netflix Oscar-winning documentary from last year, and this year's Oscar nomination, Last Men in Aleppo, has basically gone through this, I can really call it like a spin cycle, which is governed by Doc Society. And Good Pitch has actually been used to promote, and as it quite rightly says, to introduce those films and the filmmakers to allies and partners that are going to propel those films onto a world stage. Now, Threshold Foundation is a part of that apparatus. It's a sort of a separate but integral part of Doc Society, in the sense that, according to Doc Society's website, applications are by invitation only to the Threshold Foundation's funding circle. So in other words, it's almost like Threshold Foundations is a satellite organization, and Doc Society invites films to submit for grants from the Threshold Foundation. Now, in 2016, I was actually contacted by somebody via email. I can't give names because of confidentiality. Who were talking to me about the possible withdrawal of, I'm guessing it's Threshold Foundation funding, because only a few months later, Threshold Foundations published a statement in October 2016, I believe, saying that they would withdraw funding from the White Helmets because they didn't agree with the fact that they were fundamentally lobbying for war.
So we have that on screen at the moment. Mm. We've got a screenshot from their website in March 2017, which has the statement on it, and people can stop the video and read that if they wish to. By April 2017, so only 1 month later, that statement was removed. And by January 2018, the same page on the website seems to have a slightly different story applied to it.
Yeah, so basically what happened, they published a statement saying they were withdrawing the funding because the White Helmets lobby for war, basically. Then that statement was still there. When I went back on the Wayback Machine, I discovered it was still there until, I think, as you said, March 2017. By April 2017, just after, I'm guessing, just after the Oscar win, it was removed. And then, as you quite rightly say, the current page reads as a celebratory page for the Oscar win for the Netflix White Helmet documentary.
Right. So, as I say, in a second, we'll look how this all ties together. But another organization from Doc Society, the Bertha Doc Society Journalism Fund.
Now, this is interesting because this ties in The Guardian, because the Bertha Foundation works in partnership with The Guardian to promote documentaries and, you know, the usual sort of shock and awe exposure documentaries. So Bertha Foundation is connected directly to The Guardian.
Okay. Okay. Well, and
so we're starting.
And I think this is Tim Anderson's slide then, asking the question, who promotes humanitarian war? And The Guardian, absolutely the target of this.
Well, absolutely. And I mean, I mentioned the three entities who are probably the most vehement in their protectionism of the White Helmet construct, and The Guardian is up there in the top three. And, you know, if we consider the fact that The Guardian has consistently and systematically defended the neocon humanitarian war construct, what better to support that whole construct than a UK Foreign Office created and financed humanitarian NGO? I have to say simulated humanitarian NGO, but nevertheless, of course, it's the perfect construct to support their humanitarian war.
Okay, now another organization that is part of this story is the Sundance Film Festival, because Sundance has Last Man in Aleppo actually received the prize yet, or certainly been nominated, is that right?
Yeah, the Sundance is one of the major partners of Doc Society, as is the Bertha Foundation. So that is the connection that connects Doc Society to Bertha Foundation to The Guardian. It also connects Doc Society to Sundance. Now, Sundance was set up by Robert Redford. Looking into its major sponsors, we have, of course, George Soros. Who else? Open Society Foundation. We have the Ford Foundation. We have a number of Hollywood entities and actors. And we also have a connection to, we have a connection to, obviously, the award itself, to the Sundance Festival Award, which was given to The Last Men in Aleppo this year.
Right.
Now, after this award, Sundance then handed the baton, let's say, to an organization called Grasshopper Films, who then will propel Last Men in Aleppo to the Oscar nomination.
Okay, and we do need to mention this aspect of it as well, because it seems that we've got links, funding from George Soros, Open Society Foundations to Sundance.
Yeah, absolutely. As I mentioned, George Soros is one of the primary funders of Sundance. But I think what is even more important is to go back to, okay, the White Helmet construct, then to see who is promoting it and enabling it, which is Doc Society, to then map the connections from Doc Society. So far, we've got Bertha Foundation and The Guardian, and then we've got Sundance to George Soros. And then, of course, that also explains the winning of the Sundance Festival Award. by Last Men in the Leopard, because there's a vested interest in it winning that award.
Okay, well, look, let's just do that then. Let's have a look at Doc Society. Now, Doc Society, feel free to interject at any point here, but Doc Society then is founded by Channel 4. And
so it's founded, it's founded by Channel 4, which, as I've mentioned, is probably the primary defender of the white helmet construct, followed by the BBC and The Guardian.
So it's partnered by BBC, by the Bertha Foundation, by the Ford Foundation and Sundance Films.
Yeah. So if we, as I've mentioned, Channel 4 is the primary founding partner, actually, of Doc Society, or as it was then, BritDoc. BBC is a major partner, Bertha Foundation, which has connections to The Guardian, Ford Foundation and the Sundance Institute or Foundation, which has connections to George Soros and the Open Society Foundation. Almost immediately, though, Mike, if you look at that, I mean, that actually reminds me of a heart for some reason. But it is. That is the heart and the hub of the promotional apparatus that is propelling the white helmets forward and defending them from any external attack. The Guardian has produced probably one of the most historically inept hit pieces on myself, Ava Bartlett, Patrick Henningsen, and any others who are attacking the white helmet construct. So if we look at this explains to me in just one image, and you've done a great job on this, exactly who and what is producing the promotional vehicles for this organization and at the same time repelling all borders, repelling all evidence that might deconstruct this concept.
Okay, well, let's move on then, because there's others as we've mentioned. So we've got Bertha Doc House, we've got the Doc Impact Award, Threshold Foundation, Doc Academy. So these are the main sort of constructs that they're working with.
Yeah, I mean, as I've said, I mean, if we look at the Doc Academy, that, according to the Doc Society website, provides free classroom resources for teachers. As I've also just said, groups of children from the middle school in Davos were brought to the screening of Last Men in Aleppo. So we're seeing, I believe, a major social engineering project also going on here. And I wouldn't be surprised if we didn't see some degree of common purpose connections within the Doc Academy, for example. And then the Doc Impact Award is the celebrating of the documentaries making, and here is the emphasis, the greatest social impact, driving a story. If we go back to the Syria campaign, let's just have a very quick look at one of their mission statements on their website. So they've created award-winning films to change the story on Syria. It can't be any more evident. I mean, that's an extraordinary statement to make publicly on the website of what should be an impartial NGO supporting and funding and promoting an impartial NGO, which is the White Helmet. They go on to say they've created more than 30 films, several of which have gone viral. One has won multiple awards. One was shared 4.6 million times, and one was showed to the UN Security Council, another at the White House. I mean, you know, this is the war lobby in action. This is Hollywood and the military-industrial complex combining to promote an organization that is enabling and facilitating their humanitarian wars on an industrial scale, because this concept will be repeated in other war theaters.
Yes, that's all true. But of course, the point that we're making here is that these are British organizations. So let's keep going then a little bit. And see what we find. So here's Good Pitch that we mentioned earlier on. And they then linked through Violet Films and Grain Films. They helped produce the Netflix documentary, right? And then, of course, Violet Films linked to Channel 4 and BBC. And Grain Films also linked back to Channel 4 and BBC. And both of them also linked back to The Guardian.
Yeah, absolutely. Violet Films is Joanna Natasagara, who was on the production of the Netflix White Helmet movie. And grain media is Orlando Einsiedel, who was also a director of the Netflix White Helmets movie. Both of those entities work, as you rightly say, with the BBC, with Channel 4 and The Guardian. So again, we have this in-house relationships producing not only the White Helmet documentaries, but also producing other geopolitically strategic documentaries on behalf of these organizations, which we know have strong links to UK Foreign Office policy.
Okay, and so let's come back to Good Pitch again and go in another direction. And this takes us back to Faraz Syed. Is that he is the director of Last Man in Aleppo?
Yeah, Faraz Syed is the director of The Last Man in Aleppo. And it's also worth mentioning at this point that he publicly accused me of having gone to the wrong place in Aleppo, despite the fact that screenshots from the movie itself proved that I had located, or Khaled Iskef, who is the Aleppo-based journalist who had researched the film and then took me to the location in Al-Ansari.
Okay, and he links through to, what's that, LARM Films?
Yes. So basically what Good Pitch did, as far as I can understand, is that they enabled the meeting between Firas Fayad, who obviously was looking to receive funding to make Last Man in Aleppo, with a Danish film company, LARM Films. And then to, guess who, the Aleppo Media Center, which is the largely French Foreign Office subsidized media agency that was embedded yet again with Nusra Front in East Aleppo and other terrorist-held areas in Syria. And so, you know, this again, so we're going back to the roots of Doc Society, which is Channel 4 founding partner, created Good Pitch, which is basically an incubation sector where they introduce filmmakers with funding organizations and with entities that will then propel that film forward into effectively producing global change.
And then the Aleppo Media Center ends up being connected with the Sundance Film Festival. And as we've... I do apologize. I've completely pressed the wrong button there. So we'll just run through that. And then, as we've already shown, that links back to Open Society Foundations, among other funders.
Yeah. Absolutely. I mean, there's a huge raft of other funders there as well, which again include the Ford Foundation. But I think what is also interesting, I don't know if you've done a slide for Grasshopper Films, which is now taking forward The Last Man in Aleppo to the Oscar nomination. But if you haven't, just to quickly explain and how this comes back sort of almost full circle, is that Grasshopper Films is affiliated to Grasshopper Global. Now, if we look at Grasshopper Global, we then have connections to Freedom House. We have connections to, believe it or not, Walt Disney, but also, interestingly, to the UN Foundation. Now, the UN Foundation has very recently, again, given the White Helmets, Munir Mustafa, one of their representatives in Europe, a platform at the UN. If we look at the connections of UN Foundation, I'd actually previously done quite a lot of research on them, we actually connect back to the Clinton Global Initiative. So, you know, what this does is expand the network that is promoting the White Helmets into a massive web of military-industrial complex, heads of state, Open Society Foundation, George Soros. But it all emanates from the spider in the middle, which is actually Channel 4. And it emanates out into the very early threads, into the BBC, into The Guardian, through the Birth of Foundation connections. So, you know, we should at the very least be saying, okay, is this why these media organizations are simply refusing to investigate this organization? And what are their connections to the UK Foreign Office? I mean, we know, for example, BBC is clearly UK state media, but Channel 4 certainly does a very good job of promoting and amplifying UK Foreign Office, foreign policy in the region, in the Middle East and elsewhere, actually, in the world. And equally, so does The Guardian.
Well, it's not a very pretty picture, and this brings me back to the question I asked at the minute at the beginning. Sorry, why people in Britain should be concerned about what's going on in Syria? And it, really, if this doesn't demonstrate what is going on in Syria and how that situation is being presented, is representative of British foreign policy and some kind of policy narrative from the mainstream media in Britain. It's being driven from here, it seems to me. I mean, that seems to be what that's showing. This is something that everybody in Britain should be concerned about, and we should be asking questions of our elected representatives. We should be asking questions of the media in this country.
Well, absolutely. I mean, what it's actually showing is that the primary predators, particularly on an intelligence level inside Syria, who are prolonging the suffering and enabling the criminal terrorist activities and atrocities being committed against the Syrian people on a daily basis that are being whitewashed by the White Helmets. The primary predators are our government in the UK and its supporting and aligned corporate media. And that is, you know, I cannot draw any other conclusion from the research that I've done other than that.
OK, well, look, Vanessa, thank you very much for joining us today. It's been hugely interesting. I look forward to seeing part two of this Last Men in Aleppo on 21st Century Wire imminently. Good luck with the future research. Thank you for joining us and thank our audience for joining us today as well. It's been a pleasure speaking to Vanessa today. We will be back at the same time, 1 p.m. as usual on Monday. We'll see you then. Thank you. Bye-bye.